Tonight, the Supreme Court battle heats up and the coronavirus nearing a grim milestone. 2 days after the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, President Trump expected to name his nominee in the coming days. The president vowing to pick a woman. Protesters outside the home of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, outraged over his plan to fill the vacancy weeks before Election Day. Do Republicans have the votes? Two of their own announcing their opposition. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi promising to do everything possible to block a confirmation. From the steps of the Supreme Court and across the nation, tributes pouring in for Justice Ginsburg, celebrated as an icon of the bench. That chilling threshold, the U.S. on the brink of 200,000 deaths from the coronavirus. The bell at the National Cathedral tolling 200 times, once for every 1,000 lives lost in America. A young doctor on the front lines among the victims. Health officials frustrated by those refusing to follow the most basic guidelines. Also tonight, Tropical Storm Beta taking aim at the Gulf Coast. The slow-moving storm closing in on Texas and Louisiana. Up to 15 inches of rain and strong winds expected. Rob Marciano with the timing and the track. The wildfire emergency in the West. California's Bobcat Fire exploding in size. Roughly 100,000 acres destroyed. A tornado of smoke crossing the highway. The subway emergency here in New York City. A witness telling police someone deliberately threw construction debris onto the tracks. And the pandemic's economic sting growing. Gyms at the breaking point. Layoffs hitting nearly 90%. Major chains now filing for bankruptcy.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin tonight with the Supreme Court battle heating up just 2 days after the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Ginsburg's passing representing a seismic event, leaving an institutional, social, and cultural void. The new images inside the Supreme Court, you see them here in keeping with tradition, her place on the bench now draped in black. With the election day just 44 days away, President Trump racing the calendar, vowing to nominate a woman within the coming days. The president hoping to secure a 6-3 conservative majority on the bench. ABC News learning federal appeals court judge Amy Coney Barrett is the leading frontrunner. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell drawing these protests outside his own home, promising the Senate will vote on the president's pick even with the election underway. Joe Biden urging Republican senators not to force through a nomination, saying it would be an abuse of power. Two Republicans already breaking from the party, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi promising a fight. ABC White House correspondent Rachel Scott leads us off.
Just 44 days out from Election Day, President Trump using Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's vacant Supreme Court seat to energize his base. In the hours after her death, crowds at his North Carolina rally calling on him to fill that seat.
We're going to fill the seat. I love that shit.
His campaign already printing the message on T-shirts, selling them online. But there are cracks in the Republican Party. Tonight, Lisa Murkowski joining Susan Collins, saying she will not support taking up a potential Supreme Court vacancy this close to the election. Republicans can only afford to lose the support of three senators. Vice President Mike Pence would break a tie. The president's rival, Joe Biden, is calling on Republicans to let Americans' voices be heard.
I'm speaking to those Republicans out there, Senate Republicans, who know deep down what is right for the country and consistent with the Constitution.
Democrats are accusing Republicans of hypocrisy after Senator Mitch McConnell blocked the Senate from even considering President Obama's pick months before the 2016 election. This weekend, protesters gathering outside his home in Kentucky. President Trump is set to announce his pick to replace Ginsburg in the coming days.
It will be a woman, a very talented, very brilliant woman. Who I haven't chosen yet, but we have numerous women on the list. I built this incredible list of brilliant people.
Sources tell us these three conservative judges top that list, with Amy Coney Barrett as an early favorite. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signaling Democrats will do whatever it takes to stop Republicans from jamming this nominee through, not ruling out using impeachment to try to keep the Senate from acting.
We have our options. We have arrows in our quiver.
Pelosi joining hundreds of Americans, paying their respects to Ginsburg at the Supreme Court.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy will live long beyond this election. The impact she's had on American society is not just about a single election.
All right, Rachel Scott joins us now live from the Supreme Court. And Rachel, in her final days, her family is saying she passed along one last message.
Tom, she knew that her death would have a tremendous impact on politics and on the country. Her granddaughter told NPR in her final days, she said that her most fervent wish is to not be replaced until a new president is installed. Today, the vice president's chief of staff, Mark Short, said, while we do mourn as a nation, that decision does not lie with her. Tom?
Rachel Scott leading us from the Supreme Court, where the political fight is underway. Rachel, thank you. Plans for a public memorial for Justice Ginsburg are still in the works. She will be laid to rest next to her husband in Arlington National Cemetery. An outpouring of Americans paying tribute in front of the Supreme Court and across the country. Justice Ginsburg remembered as a fierce advocate and an inspiration to generations of women. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, tributes growing around the country for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was barely 5 feet tall, but larger than life. New Yorkers remembering Ruth from Brooklyn, flowers placed at her childhood home, landmarks lit blue in her honor, and the Fearless Girl statue dressed in one of her iconic colors, a symbol of her will to fight in the face of adversity. Former President Bill Clinton nominating her to the court in 1993, remembering his friend.
She was only different as I never anticipated she'd become late in her life a cultural icon and we'd all be doing our exercise routines. But I must say, the more I think about it, the less surprised I am, because in a time where people are so cynical, Ruth Ginsburg symbolizes everything that's best about America.
But it was her friendships with conservatives like late Justice Antonin Scalia that made her a shining model of civility and decency.
We didn't sit next to each other. He would sometimes send me notes. I can't repeat this audience what some of them were.
Though they rarely agreed on the issues, Scalia's son recalling his father's words, some things in life are more important than votes. They shared a love of opera, Ginsburg even performing at the Kennedy Center. Lawrence Brownlee was there with her.
I remember her being giddy about the fact that she was having something to say on stage, that she was actually taking an active role in an opera. She was the big star that night, and the rest of us were her co-stars.
At courthouses across the U.S., thousands who didn't know the justice coming out to thank her for her advocacy and her commitment to equality. The next generation of women lawyers thanking her for paving the way.
When we first heard the news, we had to take a moment of silence.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg really shattered a lot of glass ceilings for us to be standing where we are.
It's been a tradition for late justices to lie in repose inside the Great Hall of the Supreme Court. And for a justice of such historic stature like Ginsburg, we would expect similar arrangements to be made. However, we have not heard from the court nor her family about a public memorial just yet. Tom.
We will learn in the coming days, hopefully. All right, Stephanie, thank you. And later in this broadcast, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her own words. We turn now to tonight's other major headline, the coronavirus, nearing a heartbreaking milestone. The virus on the brink of recording 200,000 American lives lost. Grandparents, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters. The bell at the National Cathedral ringing 200 times today, one for every 1,000 lives lost. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, the U.S. on the brink of surpassing that staggering milestone, 200,000 Americans killed by COVID-19.
My heart breaks for everyone who's lost someone to COVID and for the losses that are coming, because each time it is tragic.
The death toll nearly doubling in just 116 days, and almost 7 months into the pandemic, the infection rate remains at nearly 5%, with hospitalizations rising in 16 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. Health experts very concerned heading into the fall.
We don't have a clear-cut treatment for this virus, and we don't know if we're going to get a vaccine.
And tonight, more clusters popping up around the country. The virus infecting 10 members of the Smith family east of Los Angeles after an outdoor barbecue.
Wearing a mask isn't a joke. people say I'm not gonna wear my mask. It's okay. I don't care. I'm not gonna get COVID. It's not a joke. You can die from this. People are dying from it.
Among those already lost, beloved family members and pillars of their communities, each a unique tragedy. Wayne Reese, the legendary New Orleans high school football coach of 40 years. Sundee Rutter, a breast cancer survivor and mother of six, her children saying goodbye over handheld radio. Betty and Curtis Tarpley, married 53 years in Texas, dying next to each other just an hour apart. And 28-year-old Houston doctor Adeline Fagan.
She died while she was doing something that she truly enjoyed doing.
One of at least 900 frontline healthcare workers killed in this pandemic. She tested positive while treating patients and later died in her parents' arms.
When you're a frontline worker, there is obviously an inherent danger, but it was never something that Adeline shied away from.
Colleges and schools becoming the new epicenters of the outbreak. A Massachusetts student testing positive, but their parents sending them to school anyway.
I was really mad. I just think it's very selfish and irresponsible.
30 students there now in quarantine. And Missouri's Bike Fest rumbling on this weekend with no mask or helmet requirements. 100,000 bikers expected to converge from around the country.
It's almost an explosive petri dish to me.
But tonight, the nation reflecting. The National Cathedral tolling the bell 200 times, one for every 1,000 American lives taken.
Such a painful year here in the U.S. and across the world. Trevor Ault joins us now from New York City. And Trevor, there are new concerns about a possible second wave hitting Europe. And tonight, the U.K. may be on the brink of another strict lockdown.
Well, Tom, Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he doesn't want another lockdown, but British officials are going to be meeting over the next few days to discuss potentially major restrictions. Already in the UK, if you violate self-quarantine orders, you could be fined the equivalent of about $13,000. Tom?
Trevor Ault for us tonight. Trevor, thank you for that. Now to Tropical Storm Beta bearing down on the Texas coast tonight. The slow-moving storm expected to make landfall sometime tomorrow with more than a foot of rain and winds up to 60 miles per hour. The storm's effects already being felt. ABC's Elwin Lopez is in Galveston tonight.
Tonight, Tropical Storm Beta churning in the Gulf of Mexico, taking aim at Texas.
We can expect surface flooding in all the usual spots.
The slow-moving storm set to hit parts of Texas and Louisiana with 60 mile per hour winds and up to 15 inches of rain.
We're west of Galveston. We're already seeing high tides and storm surge, and this is well ahead of Beta's arrival. The main concern is flash flooding inland.
Homes already threatened by rising waters. The worst of it expected in the next 24 hours. Voluntary evacuations issued along low-lying areas.
What will make you leave?
Total devastation. It would take that to make us leave.
Tens of thousands in the storm zone in Louisiana still without power, 3 weeks after Hurricane Laura slammed ashore.
This storm is expected to be a rainmaker for days, especially in areas already impacted. The soil already saturated by Laura just weeks ago, especially in Louisiana and parts of Northeast Texas. Here in Galveston, we could see up to 5 feet of life-threatening storm surge. Tom?
Elwin, thank you for that. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano with the timing and track for Beta. Rob, good evening.
Hey, Tom, the folks of southwest Louisiana don't need any of this storm, and it extends, the tropical storm force winds extend nearly 200 miles away. Here it is on the radar. Look at a bunch of moisture heading into New Orleans. We've got a band rotating through Port Lavaca. It should make landfall tomorrow afternoon somewhere around Victoria, but we've got storm warnings up from north of Corpus Christi all the way to Morgan City, Louisiana, and because it slows down, and you'll have a persistent storm surge, you mentioned. You're going to also have persistent rain, anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of rain, and that will be enough to flood Houston. Got to mention Hurricane Teddy. That's going to head into Atlantic Canada, but it will bring rough surf to the northeast. Tom?
All right, Rob, thank you for that. Now to the other major disaster unfolding in the west. California's Bobcat Fire exploding in size. Fire officials say it could be more than a month before the fire is fully contained. ABC's Zareen Shaw is on the fire line tonight in California.
Tonight, West Coast fires that have already claimed at least 36 lives continuing to explode in size. Firefighters desperately working to save homes from the Bobcat fire near Los Angeles. Multiple aircraft called in to drop retardant. But that fire growing overnight to nearly 100,000 acres.
Embers just lit up
So I started seeing flames, and it went down the hill really fast.
The fire so intense, it sparked this smoke tornado, whipping rocks and ash as it tore across the forest. Flames still inching within a few hundred feet of the Mount Wilson Observatory, also home to Southern California's TV towers. Homes in Juniper Hills to its north destroyed, sending residents fleeing.
Flames were less than a quarter of a mile away, coming down this property. All of a sudden, there's flames like within very close walking distance. We thought, okay, now we gotta go.
Oregon seeing a break from flames and smoke, enabling some residents to check on their homes. But rain later this week could bring more landslides to the burnt out terrain.
Bobcat fire has been burning for 2 weeks. You can see those hot spots behind me. And in just 1 second, that big drop right there. And if we turn this way, large plumes of smoke still burning right behind me. Fire officials say the earliest they expect full containment is by the end of next month. Tom?
Serene Shaw right there in the fire lines.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Back now with the new bankruptcies hitting the gym industry. So many canceling memberships and choosing to work out from home. Will the industry survive the pandemic? Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Tonight, the pandemic crushing the fitness industry, forcing customers elsewhere. Hardest hit, bricks and mortar fitness facilities. Social distancing rules costing those businesses $10 billion in lost revenue and staff layoffs approaching 90%. In the past 10 days, two more national chains joining others filing for bankruptcy.
Keep the right leg where it is.
Yet, the massive disruption proving a massive opportunity for some.
The only thing that keeps me from teaching all day, every day is sleep and my children.
Instructor Diane Grassi moved many of her sessions online and business is booming.
I do have clients in California and I do have clients in Italy. So I could go on all ends of the spectrum, kind of AM to PM and beyond.
The fitness-minded increasingly find virtual replacements for the gym, like real estate agent Sully Snyder, who went for a Peloton bike.
It's great because you can find your friends on it and you can cycle in the same classes together. You can high-five each other.
Peloton's revenue is soaring in this pandemic. The same for Nautilus, selling equipment to the home market.
We launched the 2080 Select Tech barbell set that sold out in 24 hours.
We are never going back to the fitness as it was.
Gym owners are hoping that is not the case and that a safe, in-person, social experience still counts for something. Tom?
Deirdre Bolton with that in-depth look tonight. Deirdre, thank you. Time now for the index and the train derailment here in New York City. The front car of an A train going off the tracks and sideswiping several columns as it pulled into the station. Police say they are questioning a man they believe threw debris onto the track, causing that derailment. Finally tonight, a trailblazer for gender equality and a powerhouse on the Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in her own words tonight.
I do think that I was born under a very bright star.
I, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I am a Brooklynite, born and bred.
I love my job. It's the best and the hardest job that I have ever had. It has kept me going through four cancer bouts. I have to read this set of briefs, go over the draft opinion, and so I have to somehow surmount whatever is going on in my body. Because I'm a public figure, I could help make things a little better for people who were in my situation. fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. If you want to be a true professional, you will do something outside yourself, something to make life a little better for people less fortunate than you. A meaningful life is one lives not just for oneself, but for one's community.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 87 years old.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.